Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We are joined by Renee King Sonnen and Tommy Sonnen of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Angleton, Texas. Renee and Tommy transformed their cattle ranch into a vegan sanctuary. This month is their two-year anniversary of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. This is part one of a two-part interview. Thank you, Renee and Tommy, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is super exciting speaking with you. And again, thank you for your important, noble work in transitioning this world from a world of living by killing into a world of living by loving and being a leader in vegan sanctuaries.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that. It's nice to hear it back in our ears when you're just on the ground every day.
I think you are very significant in building the vegan world and expanding vegan education. Could you please give us a little story of the origins of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary?
Well, it began when I remarried my wife, Renee. We were married back in the 90s, divorced. And when we remarried, she wanted to live in Houston, and I didn't want to. I had a 96-acre ranch down here in Angleton, Texas. And I basically said, no, you're going to have to come down here. And she did. And she didn't like it much because she was used to sidewalks and nice groomed grass, and we had gravel roads and a lot of mud and a lot of animals. She gravitated toward the animals, but she did not like it when I hauled some of them off the first time. I mean, the very first time, she let it be known that she did not like that. She tried to ignore it, I think, for years, and it just kept bothering and bothering. Anyway, 4 or 5 years ago, she started getting really angry about it, and every time I would try to sell the calf, she would have a fit. And, I found out real early in the ranching business that you didn't make any money unless you made your own hay. You would spend everything time just to feed the cows. And so not only did I raise a few cows, but I also made a lot of hay. And so I had a lot of money invested in the hay equipment. So when it boiled right down to 2014, I had retired from my lifetime job at Dow Chemical, and I was hoping to have a nice little retirement and sell a few cows and sell a little hay. And Renee wasn't having it. She was at the end of her rope. She had just became vegan, and I couldn't understand that, but I could live with it.
Could you share the story of how Rowdy Girl and Houdini were the influence of transitioning your cattle ranch into Rowdy Girl Sanctuary?
Well, over the years that I've been here raising cattle and selling cattle, the hardest part was the winter time when they graze all the grass down, the grass quits growing. But for some reason, the grass on the highway is always nice looking, and the cows look over and they want to go out there. And Renee's calf, Rowdy Girl's daughter, was the main culprit that was getting out. Houdini was not named Houdini. I called it Whiteface just because it had a white face. And just like her mother, Rowdy Girl, she had been taught by Rowdy Girl to slip the fence. Some cows don't do it, and some are really good at it. Anyway, Houdini was very good at it. And she would go out, slip the fence, graze, come back in most of the time by herself. But if somebody called in, they'd send the cops out, the Brazoria County Sheriff's Department. Renee owned Rowdy Girl and Rowdy Girl's daughter. She bottle fed Rowdy Girl, paid $300 and bottle fed her, and so she claimed those cows. When Renee moved in, I owned the land, everything on it, the cows, it was all paid for. But she bought Rowdy Girl. And so I kept telling her, you're going to have to do something with your cow. You won't let me send it to the sale barn. My rancher friends would drive up and down the road, and they call me and go, hey, you better get out there and help the cops at Houdini cows back out on the highway. And so it just became a major source of conflict for me and Renee, because she wouldn't let me sell them, but the cops were getting tired of coming out here, and I just didn't know what to do. So basically, Houdini is the reason that we have a sanctuary. She brought everything to a head. She kept getting out on the 50 or 60th time. I was talking to a cop out at the highway, a girl by the name of Gocher, and the sheriff said, Tommy, I'm going to have to fine you today. And I said, no, don't fine me. My wife has gone vegan and won't let me sell the cow. And she had this really squinched-looking face and goes, ooh, vegan, you're kidding. This is in December of 2014. And I said, here's her card. I reached for my billfold, handed her Renee's card, and I said, why don't you find her? And she goes, okay, I will. And so Renee gets home a little later, and I said, hey, Renee, you're fixing to get fined. What do you mean? You said the cops are understanding it. They said our fences are good. It's just that time of year. I said, yeah, but they're tired of it. They say that if something happens out there, they're going to get in trouble. They've been out here so much. Renee looks at me and says, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I guess we're going to have to put them in my hay compound, because hay compound didn't have barbed wire fence. It had net fencing. The only place on the property that had net fencing that could contain them. And so I put Houdini and Rowdy Girl in there, Whiteface and then Rowdy Girl. And then they started eating all my hay up. And the winter was coming on. Anyway, the name stuck, Houdini, because she was so good at getting out. So they wouldn't let me sell those. And I was trying to gather up the others, and she kept blocking me on that. And we just had it out that one day by the trailer.
The bottom line was, when I drew the line in the sand, the atmosphere around here was palpable. You know, me and Tommy have a very lasting, deep, loyal love for each other. But this was like the rubber meeting the road in a way that our relationship has never been stressed. And this was challenging everything for us. It was as if we were at a massive standoff. And, you know, I absolutely had it. And I was seeing these animals as, you know, as sentient beings. I was naming them. And he was telling me, stop naming the cows. They're going to the sale barn. I'm like, no, they're not. There's Tippy. There's Reuben. There's somebody. And I kept just like emphasizing this over and over. We were just, you know, and I said, I'll follow them to the sale barn. I'll go to the slaughterhouse if I have to. You can pick me up in jail. I had already seen all these videos where other vegan activists were doing that. So I imagined, because they could do it, I was going to do the same thing in this situation.
Wow.
And so there were several factors working. You know, the fact she wouldn't let me sell any of the calves. Every time I'd try to gather them up, you know, she'd be out there and we'd start a fight and I'd give up. I kept telling Renee, I'm going to sell those calves. She said, no, you're not. They're mine. And I said, well, you need to do something with Houdini, because I'm either going to sell it or you need to do something with it. Find you a sanctuary and give it to me. She kept telling me, well, I can't find a sanctuary to donate my two, Rowdy Girl and Houdini. So she blocked me from February 2014 until the calves were really thick, and she had gone vegan in October 31st, 2014, and we were just having a war, and she won. And then it culminated that one day when I said, we were fighting while I was trying to load the calves. It was late December, and I said, I'm going to get out of the blankety-blank business and just sell the whole herd. And she goes, well, if you're going to sell the whole herd, why don't you sell them to me? Of course, I laughed because I knew she didn't have any money. And unbeknownst to me, she had a network from social, you know, networking. And I jokingly said, okay, I'll sell them to you. And, you know, I agreed to let her buy the cows, thinking she wouldn't be able to come up with money. Well, she did. I couldn't go back on my word. And she goes, well, why don't we make this a sanctuary here? And so then I was faced with, oh, my God, I've given her a $1 a year lease on my property and sold her my cows for $30,000. Now I got to pay taxes, bale hay and everything, and not going to be making money. And to this day, you know, my 401k is still subsidizing Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, but she's done an awesome job.
That's true. And it must have been quite a shocker first hearing those words.
He goes, why don't you lease me the land? Let me start a sanctuary. I said, that's stupid. They don't do that in Texas. That's New York and California. It'll never work here. Well, it's working. It's working really well. We struggle on some days, but we're steady growing. And we're not perfect down here, but it's a really nice sanctuary, and we have visions of it being a really, really nice sanctuary someday. I'm a sanctuary man now, not a rancher.
That's true. Hey, you know, it's still evolving. That's the whole, the interesting thing is this, you know, this whole development of our herd. I mean, you know, like you said, the calves were thick from February to, you know, whenever we finally funded in May of the following year. You know, this herd was growing. It was, everybody was pregnant, having babies. The Rowdy Girl herd is really a miracle. This is a herd of animals that will never, ever be slaughtered. And the babies that they've had, and the few that they're still having, because we are still transitioning the herd. We're almost completely 100% sterile in our herd.
That is a beautiful, significant story. And I really think it's significant that it was on February 20th, 2015, that Rowdy Girl became an official 501c sanctuary. And so congratulations on the 2-year anniversary. And I also think it's very significant that it was Rowdy Girl and her heifer, her daughter, Houdini, that was the influence of this. Because when we look at ranching of all the species, but especially thinking of the bovines right now, whether it's the dairy industry or the flesh industry, that it is the violation and the separation of mothers from their own children.
I know, isn't that horrible? It's just horrible. I see these pictures and watch these videos of these poor babies that are being ripped from their mothers, that are being torn away from their opportunity to have their own milk. These babies are deprived. They're even put these little hooks in their nose so their mother rejects them. How can we allow this to happen as a society? We've got to get this education in the schools. We've got to stop this brutal torture of mothers and their children, particularly, you know, their children, even the males. I mean, of course, the little baby boys, they just get thrown to the side as if they're not even important at all because they can't give milk. I was on the phone just a few days ago with somebody from England that was wanting to know, you know, what to do about a little calf that was found on the side of the road. Somebody in, I think it was Austin, found a little calf on the side of the road with the umbilical cord still on it. Somebody had just thrown it out, and they found it. This calf is alive today. I followed this story all the way to the completion. I told them what to do, you know, get it some colostrum right away. It's got to have colostrum. This little baby calf that was found on the side of the road with an umbilical cord still intact would not have made it had somebody not cared enough to do what it needed to do to save its life and get it to sanctuary.
We're listening to Renee King Sonnen of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Angleton, Texas, and we're joined by Tommy Sonnen as well. They both transformed their cattle ranch into a vegan sanctuary. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, and after this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Tommy and Renee.
This is Sunta Africa inviting you to join me on the journey every Saturday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. for all things mind, body, and soul. We cover all the topics and listen to all the music. Join me.
Hi, this is Robert O'Keefe. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving Central Massachusetts, online at WCUW.org.
What a beautiful world.
Hi, this is Troy. You're listening to WCUW. Tune in on Fridays and hear the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays from 9 to 12 noon.
Beautiful world.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. We are very, very fortunate to be joined by Tommy Sonnen and Renee King Sonnen. They both transformed their cattle ranch into a vegan sanctuary. We'll continue our conversation with Tommy and Renee.
But it's been such a huge undertaking to completely and totally sterilize every single animal because they were all pregnant and having babies. You know, this has been a huge learning curve for us, and we wouldn't wish the hardships we've had on anybody. So what we're trying to do is develop the program, the Rancher Advocacy Program, so that we can help other ranchers not have to go through a lot of the same problems that we do.
Every time I try to segregate the cows and haul them off to get them fixed, something would happen. They'd bust through a fence. And then we were almost done in June of last year, and a giant flood came, one with the likes that we haven't seen since 1956 or 1913. We were flooded out. We had to move the cows on an emergency basis, and we put them in a pasture, 50 acres, surrounded by other cows. Anyway, we've had lots of things to work on. Anyway, the sanctuary is pretty much back to, you know, top-notch shape. The biggest thing for me is the influx of new animals now, and we have very little capacity for new animals without improving the infrastructure. We could take a few cows, we can take some chickens, we can take some ducks at this point, but pretty much everything else is been shut down until we can improve the infrastructure. And even the cows, we're having to improvise in a lot of ways. We're building some new sheds for them. We're putting in a new well for them. And everything doesn't just happen overnight. But one of the amazing things that I've seen since we've started this sanctuary is how many people come here as a complete non-vegan or a vegetarian, and they switch. It's just miraculous how many people have come here and become vegans.
Yes, thank you both, Renee and Tommy. That is quite a task, and you are greatly appreciated for being pioneers and leaders in transitioning from ranching into a vegan sanctuary and to help other ranchers to transition. So that's very, very noble of you.
Thank you. I always say, imagine a world where there's a herd like the Rowdy Girl herd, where you get to see the family grow up and become who they were meant to be, not food on your plate. I mean, it's really historical when you think of it. These animals are never going to be killed, and people can watch their lives. They can watch the families become who they were meant to be.
And again, thank you. And thank you for helping to shift the human consciousness into one of respect and justice and equality, which will extend into the human arena, because what we do to the other animals inevitably boomerangs back into the human arena. And so that's why veganism is the key to cultural transformation of the crises that has plagued humanity for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So you are very significant. And speaking of the food on your plate, Tommy, what was your experience of the transition from when you went vegetarian and then went to vegan?
Well, in early 2015, I quit eating meat. I think it was the middle of January, I believe. And we had a festival here May 2nd. They brought in So Delicious ice cream and Follow Your Heart cheese. You know, I said, hey, I can do this thing. There's not a lot of vegans around here, so it was a lot harder than if I'd been in Houston. We're about 50 miles south of Houston. It's been good, though. I never like to drop my calves off at the sale barn. Anyway, it's a very involved story. It took a long time for us to come to where we're at now.
And Renee, can you ad lib on that some more about transitioning a ranch to a sanctuary?
The development from being a rancher environment to a sanctuary, it's still being developed. I mean, there's so many aspects of transitioning a functioning cow-calf operation. Its whole design and purpose was to breed animals for a profit. And so what I've seen is because we transitioned to vegan, because my husband was willing to transition to vegan, buying the animals made sense. Because if you can buy animals from a rancher or a butcher, or, you know, just like this runaway steer situation that we've been working with over in Weatherford, Texas, that's a Texas butcher. And if this butcher was to go vegan or say, hey, you know, I'm interested in what y'all are doing, you know, give me some education. If he was really interested, buying an animal in the system would make sense. You know what I mean?
Yes, and thank you for your noble work, both of you, Renee and Tommy, in building a vegan world, because it's all about compassion and to bring an end to the cycles of suffering. Can you tell us more about the runaway steer, especially for those who aren't familiar with the story?
There was a steer that escaped from a meat company in Weatherford, Texas. You can just Google runaway steer, Weatherford, Texas, and you can see it. It's been seen over 6 million times. This steer got away, running for his life, through the town of Weatherford on pavement. Cowboys ensued with lassos, and for 2 hours they chased this young steer. For 2 hours, this poor thing ran for his life until he was finally lassoed, slung down on the pavement, and hogtied. I don't know if he's been pardoned or not as of today. We've been working tirelessly. Last week, PETA got involved. PETA offered to donate transportation to any sanctuary in the country if they would pardon him. They offered to donate $1,000 worth of vegan meat to the butcher, which I thought was genius. In fact, she said vegan beef. Ingrid said vegan beef. And so if this butcher would go, hey, you know, I want to know more about this. If there was any indication that he was wanting to really learn, it would be such an awesome opportunity. Man, you know, when butchers go vegan, when pig farmers go vegan, when cattle ranchers go vegan, what I'm seeing is that the ripple in the consciousness has a significant impact, because that's disrupting the order of the universe, really. It's disrupting our entire world culture when folks in animal agriculture go vegan, you know?
Yes.
So this runaway steer is a symbol of a big problem. Runaway, I called him runaway. Runaway is a symbol of all the animals out there that would run for their life if they had the chance. None of them want to go through the process of being slaughtered and eaten. None of them. So yeah, this is Valentine's Day. I mean, today is. I mean, I know the program's going to air on the 24th, but today is the day. I hope that he gets pardoned today, and I've got some folks that are going to be calling. And
I hope so, too. And it is significant that it's Valentine's Day in this cultural transformation, as you described, when pig farmers and cattle ranchers and chicken farmers become vegan. It's the transition, the transformation of a world of living by killing into a world of living by loving.
Yeah, I love that. That's exactly right. Did you just make that up, or is that your quote?
No, and where did I hear that? I'll have to think on that.
Yeah, living by loving, not living by killing.
Yes,
I love that.
I heard that in the movie Unity.
Oh, really? You know, I've not seen that yet. I've got to watch that, Unity. That's the latest one after Earthlings, right?
Yes, and speaking of Unity, Tommy, what is your take on Runaway the Steer?
Well, I hope he gets pardoned. I would love to see him come here, but it doesn't matter where he goes as long as they pardon him. For the folks that own the butcher shop, I believe it's the same person that owns the steer. I'm not positive about that. But they would come out looking like a hero if they go ahead and pardon this calf. If they don't, they're going to be fighting this thing for a long time because animal activists don't like to give up.
Jane Velez Mitchell was also real helpful. She did a live interview with me, a two-part interview. You can see on her page. And, you know, so they got a lot of heat over this. They did indicate that they were considering pardoning him. You know, what we want is to know where he is. We don't want to just be told, trust us. You know, trust us, he's okay. You know, the same thing happened this time last year, you know, with that calf named Oatmeal, the blind calf named Oatmeal that nobody still to this day knows for sure whether he is safe. I know of no one that's been to visit him or seen him. And so I don't want this to turn into another situation where we don't know where Runaway is.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Tommy. And yes, it's about all for one and one for all. And so compassion for each individual who is suffering, and that's the whole goal of the Vegan Evolution Revolution, is to instill golden rule behavior. So what would be for anyone?
Even in the ranching communities, people contact us because we're former ranchers, and the stories we're getting are, you know, our kids are vegetarian and vegan. They don't want to take over this eighth generation cattle ranch. We have to realize, as vegans in a world that's changing, that's evolving, that cattle ranchers have been a part of our culture for eons. And now, with all of the awareness on plant-based diets, veganism, slaughter, you know, what really happens, the kids, the young kids, the teenagers, the family is changing their diets. And so they don't want to participate anymore in the family tradition. We got to be ready for this. And that's what Ratty Girl Sanctuary is. I mean, I really consider this all the time. I talk about it all the time. We're developing a rancher advocacy program. We're developing Families Choosing Compassion. These two programs are the programs that we're creating so that we can have a hub of options for these folks to consider once they make the decision that they don't want to participate in the cruelty anymore.
Wonderful. That's great. And I'd also like to hear about the Texas Country Reporter.
They came here right before the first of the year, and they spent, you know, all day with us. They're going to be promoting the program, I guess it's next week. You just go on Texas Country Reporter?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this Sunday, this weekend, on RFD TV.
Yeah, and this Friday, Central Time, is supposed to be on. Just the best thing is, if you go to our website, RattyGirlSanctuary.org, on the homepage is the information. Some folks have already seen it in Texas. It was aired in Texas this past Saturday, but it wasn't aired in Houston. It got bumped for some football game. Anyway, but it's been aired all over Texas because I've been getting all kind of messages about it. Supposedly, it's really good. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that's great. The more news, the better, to help spread the benevolent, healthy, sustainable vegan message.
Yeah, you know, what's really cool is that for whatever reason, the press is really interested in this story. We're involved in programming and platforms that are global that I can't even speak of right now because they're not being, you know, I'm not allowed to. So, because until they are ready to air.
We're listening to Renee King-Sonnen, the co-founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. We've been joined by Renee and her husband, Tommy Sonnen, co-founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Angleton, Texas. This concludes part one of our two-part interview. Please join us again next week as we continue our conversation with Tommy and Renee and learn more insights into Rowdy Girl Sanctuary and also the media upcoming programs. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Join us again next week at the same time to hear more news on living a vegan lifestyle. You can listen to this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Joseph Peck. This is Marlene Arrow wishing you a good day.
She goes, well, why don't we make this a sanctuary here?